It's Here and Now, broadcasting today from Michigan Radio ahead of tomorrow's presidential primary and after last night's Democratic debate in Flint, which understandably focused on the lead water crisis. But the belated attention on the poisoned water has obscured another Flint. The relatively new Flint Farmers Market is a foodie's paradise. Local meats, cheeses, freshly baked and sliced bread.
$29.25.
People of all colors and ages mingle. Kids from the Carmen Ainsworth Theater Program in Flint perform from their upcoming show, The Little Mermaid.
Her eyes have gone all gleamy, it's like there's no one home.
She floats away the days, moping on the coastal shelf.
Girl Scouts sell cookies. The aisles smell of barbecue.
Looking for lunch? They have amazing lunch here.
Is this where we should go?
Oh, you should. If you like brisket, they have great brisket.
People are so friendly. This stranger in line turns out to be Susan Borrego, Chancellor of the University of Michigan, Flint.
I tell you, this market here is not a picture that we see on national television when we see pictures of Flint.
There are many, many pictures that you don't see on national television when you see pictures of Flint.
And everywhere I look, I see hashtag Flint Forward.
Flint Forward.
What's that?
That is an effort on behalf of the citizens of Flint to help people see stories beyond the water. In no way does anybody want to minimize the water, but just like you didn't expect this, I think if we did an ad campaign in Flint, we ought to do one that says, wow, this isn't what I expected.
But that's a hard sell. Ask a real estate agent. The market is the starting point for our tour of Flint with real estate agent Chris Theodoroff and his wife Joyce. They both grew up here in a town that flourished because of philanthropists like Charles Stewart Mott of the Applesauce family, but also co-founder of GM. Both GM and the Mott Foundation helped build Flint. We drive by the sprawling cultural center, the art museum, the gorgeous Mott Estate. Then, just a few blocks away, the homes where Chris and Joyce grew up.
They're boarded up, they're falling down, they're burned, yep. Block after block.
This was a blue-collar, and back in the 50s, this was a very vibrant neighborhood. And what happened is people moved out, their children moved away, the jobs left the area. And this was an area that these people could walk to the Buick plant, they could get downtown to the Chevrolet plant, and neither one of those plants are here anymore.
What? There's nothing on there. Okay, we've passed blocks of blighted houses, now a block with no houses.
Yep.
They were taken down?
They were taken down. They were empty houses. We were afraid of the crime that would come with an empty house. Copper thefts, drug use, things of that nature.
Look, we know, we've seen these images in Detroit. But it's just amazing when you see them up close.
Yeah, that's unfortunately it is. And these houses are worth nothing. No one's living in that one, but there's people living in that one. There's people living in this one.
This looks very dangerous for kids.
It is. This is an area of some of the oldest housing in the community, and this would be an area that has a problem with water.
Well, I was going to say, so you were devastated by the auto industry collapse.
Auto industry collapse.
And then the double whammy of the water.
That's exactly. We were starting to pull out from the automotive crisis. We had, on a countywide basis, our square footage had been increased about $10 a square foot over about a 16-month period, which was, that's a big jump. The problem we're having now is no one desires. We're not getting the inquiries that we did for housing in the city.
What happens to this block after block after block? Do you raise all of it? What do you do with the pipes that are under it? Do you make it?
That's the dilemma we're facing right now. The houses that we stopped in front of, that will be torn down. The houses that you see without windows and doors, those are waiting to be torn down, and with federal money, they will be torn down.
But you can't build new houses on those blocks until there's pipes that won't produce leaded water.
That is correct, and that's where we are in the process of that right now. State money is coming in. Federal money is coming in.
It just started tearing up the pipes.
Yesterday was the first day that they literally started removing some lead pipes from one of the neighborhoods. You can see now there's more houses. They're getting a little bit better here. There are still people that live in all of these. We've crossed two large streets, And look, we're in what's called the College and Cultural Area. This is built around Mott College, Mott Community College. Now, these are, you'll see they're getting a little bit different in size, but they were very similar to the houses we passed with the blight.
Right.
Okay.
How much might a house on this side that's in a neighborhood without the blight? How much?
The houses in here probably will sell anywhere from about 40, you probably still get some in the 30s, 35,000 to about 100, depending on the size. And we'll take you past both of those
just
sizes.
Blocks from that blight.
We're what, maybe a mile, if that?
Beautiful little, a lot of Tudor homes, some brick.
A lot of brick Tudor. Yeah. Now, the darker blue house right here. I have that for sale right now. That is for sale. It's a 3-bedroom, 1-bath, 2-car garage, finished basement. I had a man walk away on a $25,000 offer, but last night I got a $30,000 offer for it.
Now, if we weren't in the middle of this water crisis, what could you have gotten for that house?
$50,000, $60,000. 3 weeks ago, a buyer walked away. His attorney called him and said, wait a minute, why are you buying a house in Flint with this water crisis going on? Why don't we hold off a little bit till they work out a little bit more of what's going to happen and how things are going to be repaired?
How are real estate agents in Flint surviving?
When you're licensed in Michigan, you're licensed for the whole state. So not everyone sells in Flint. There are a number of thriving suburban areas where a lot of business goes on a daily basis. Where I happen to live in Fenton is very much in demand. Now you'll notice some bigger houses. Joycey, turn left and we'll show them. Yep.
That's a pretty house.
That's a gorgeous house. It has amazing woodwork in it, and if you could see the inside. This house just went up. Now, this is 3 stories. This is
5 bedrooms, 5 baths. 5 bedrooms, 5 baths.
And do you remember the price, Joyce? Because it just went up. And
it's like $135.
Yeah, I think that's $135.
Wait. 5 bedrooms. Let's back up. We have to back up. I think I have to buy a house.
Yeah, that's
holy.
My point. I've looked at real estate in Boston. You can't get a garage for that.
This street is so beautiful. It's got these trees that grow over the street.
If you could see this in the summer, it is one of the most gorgeous places.
My colleague Peter O'Dowd and I have to get out to get a picture. We'll post it at hearandnow.org. Then we got back in and drive just a little bit further down the road and see extravagance, wrought iron gate homes, thousands of square feet.
Look at the size of these houses. Now, these are between 3,000 and 4,000. That one is probably closer to 5,000. Now, an attorney and his wife live in there because I think all their children have graduated and gone.
These are gorgeous. These are mansions and
yes,
probably were owned by the car industry. You know, beautiful brick and...
educators.
So what might these mansions, that if this were plopped down in the Boston area, that would be $3 to $5 million.
Oh, $3 to $5 million easily.
What are they here?
A house like these would sell at this size, if you're looking at the stone one there with the oak doors, that would probably...
By the way, the oak garage doors, three oak garage doors. Go ahead.
That would probably sell upper hundreds. I don't know that we could get. I'm not sure. I would probably try and price it over $200,000, but I don't.
$200,000.
Yes, unfortunately, because you are in the city of Flint, because we have this water crisis, because we lost the jobs that we did from 2000 to 2010, prices have been hammered.
What has to happen? Is it just the water to start the comeback now?
If we had started the comeback, that I want to make very, very clear.
Right, yeah.
We had started the comeback. We feel we can do it again and will do it again if the infrastructure is changed, so that I can say to you, not only can you get a property like this at a phenomenal price, but you have a new infrastructure under it. The water is clean. We will attract young people because of the low cost.
You've got a lot invested. You can't just, you're not going to turn your back.
No, I will never walk away from this community. This is the place I was raised. My parents had a very wonderful life here. They had their children. All of my brothers and I are all college educated. We were raised here with an amazing amount of love. My first job, I was paid by the Mott Foundation to work at an elementary school. We are hardworking people. We will bring this city back. I promise you that.
So, not every home in Flint was hit by lead water, and residents want people to know there's more than that. We'll link you to the Flint Forward video at hereandnow.org, where you can also see the houses we talked about, value plummeting, more pictures to come. And today, seven families with children poisoned by lead filed a federal class action lawsuit, an attorney saying it's to hold public officials accountable for changing Flint's water source without taking steps to control lead in the pipes, and for failing to heed warnings that it was unsafe. The class action could cover up to 8,000 children. It's not the first, probably will not be the last. Meanwhile, Michigan Radio reports today that Flint is getting a $25 million loan from an insurance company to remove pipes, and there will be a way for young people to get involved. The Flint Waterworks Initiative is going to hire 16 to 23-year-olds to distribute water and food around the city.